They arrived in town yesterday, but today members of Congress get down to real work. But what's real all depends. If you care about establishment of a federal budget for fiscal 2016, you may have to wait a few days. David Hawkins is senior editor at CQ Roll Call. He points out another issue that's first in line on that agenda.
The marquee item of the week is actually in the Senate, where the Republicans, they have to overcome some parliamentary complexities that are too complex for even a Congress nerd like me to memorize, to get a bill to the president's desk that he is sure to veto that would repeal portions of the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare and take away the federal funding for Planned Parenthood. This is a special, they're doing this under a special wrinkle in the law called reconciliation, which is designed to speed along legislation that would shrink the deficit. It actually bars a filibuster, so there can be no filibuster on one of these things, but obviously you still got to get a majority. Believe it or not, there's not a majority on the Republican side for this bill, even though they know President Obama's going to veto it, and it's an entirely political matter because there are a handful of Republicans who don't think the bill goes far enough.
And just to veer off a little bit for a second here, is there any chance that bills could be proposed and the president sign that would improve the Affordable Care Act? Because I think everyone who's honest about it knows that it's deeply flawed. And so let's presume you believe in it and understand that it's flawed. Could it be fixed legislatively at this point, or is the administration against anything that touches it?
Oh, no, I said the administration is in favor of fixing it, but the politically, the Republicans, their position is that to go in and fix it is to acknowledge that it should be saved, and they, you know, their version is it should just be wiped off the books. Their mantra is repeal and replace, but they sort of feel that to countenance any tinkering with a fatally flawed law like this is doesn't make sense and would essentially subject them to the to the criticism from back home, from their conservative base, that you know that the Republicans have gone soft and are out to fix it, not end it.
So no R&R until R&R, in other words, from that point of view.
That's no R&R until R&R, and of course that's going to be one of the big issues in the campaign, is what do the Republicans, presidential candidates particularly, mean when they say replace.
All right, so getting back to the matter at hand, of course this whole exercise is one day not devoted to budgetary matters and one day closer to December 11th.
That's right. Now, that's what we've been discussing till this point, is what's happening in public behind the scenes, probably from here until the middle of next week, or at least early next week. We will not see anything in public when it comes to the negotiating on the budget. Obviously CQ and Roll Call and the Associated Press and other people who care deeply about this will have teams of reporters looking, knocking on closed doors and waiting around outside of closed meetings to get any scrap of information we can. But probably this big omnibus appropriations bill will not be unveiled until the middle of next week, next December, December 11th being the deadline. Probably they're going to take up until as close to that deadline as they possibly can to get it nailed, and then it will actually take a couple of days after they've negotiated and shook hands on this to get it written into legislative language and put on the floor. So it's the period of silence before the big roar at the end. There's sort of what I like to think of it as kind of a pyramid, where if you think of all the decisions that they've got to make, and there are thousands of decisions, it kind of goes in a pyramid where the bulk of decisions gets made at the staff level. Most of the money decisions actually get made at the staff level. They figure out, you know, what their total budget is for an agency, and then they split the difference on the programs and move on. Those decisions that can't get made at the staff level are made by the essentially, it's 48 members. So if you think about it, it's almost 10% of Congress are members of Congress are either the chairman or the ranking Democrats on one of the appropriations subcommittees. And if they can't make a decision, then it goes to the chairman of those committees. And if they can't make a decision, then it goes to the leadership and the president. And those big decisions at the tippy top of that pyramid are going to be the big policy riders that many of our listeners are aware of, that are really the if not the anchors of this bill in the view of their proponents, then the weight on the bill that's going to keep it from crossing the finish line to the last possible minute.
David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call. And so then at this point, it's impossible to tell then which particular programs within the vast portfolio will actually get the plus-ups that have been voted in as part of the budget framework.
That is true, except for the following, which is the Senate appropriators wrote preliminary versions of all 12 of the bills they're supposed to get done. So did the House appropriators, and more than half of those actually got passed by the House. So those people who run the programs and the agencies sort of know what the starting points are on the numbers. And if the starting point on the numbers in the House and the Senate bills are the same, then there's a pretty good bet that that's the number that they're going to end up with in the omnibus. If they're very close together, probably they'll split the difference. If one has a plus up and one has a cut, that's where the negotiating has to happen.
Are those draft documents available to view at this
point? Oh yeah, right. Any legislation that has been passed out of the Senate Appropriations Committee, they've written a report. Those reports are out there, available. And same with the House. Any bill that has gotten through the House Committee, the House Appropriations Committee, you can read those reports. One can look at the tables. One can do the detective work without too much trouble.
So smart contractors, for example, ought to be poring over those to get some idea of where the money is going to be in the programs they care about, and they can start hammering on the agencies for marketing and sales now.
I think that's very true. Probably the smart contractors and their lobbyists have known where these things are headed all year long, and they know where to start applying the pressure now for next year.
What is the possibility of their not getting a final agreement by December 11th and moving on to a second continuing resolution, maybe knowing that they'll get to the agreement at some other point?
That's a pretty good chance of that, but I think that the important part of that is the part of the question where you said they'll know by December 11th how much of an extension they need to give themselves. I mean, in the past, unless they're at a total loggerheads, which it doesn't sound like they're going to be, but in many past years, they've come up against a deadline like this, and they have had a very high degree of confidence that a handshake is near. Or in some cases, as I say, the handshake has happened, the big handshake, but it actually takes the lawyers and the accountants a little bit of time to turn all those handshake agreements into legislative language, and they give themselves an extension, sometimes for as little as a day. There have been continuing resolutions that have lasted only a day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. My sense of it at this point is there's a growing confidence that they will get it done by the weekend of the 11th, if not by the 11th, and then Congress will probably stick around into the next week to mop up some other things, including some people just say it's sort of mop up of dogs and cats, which is the old cliche for just random stuff. Some of it's pretty important, like legislation to keep going many of the tax breaks that we have in this country, just to extend many of the tax provisions that only exist in law for 1 year at a time.
David Hawkins is senior editor at CQ Roll Call. Share this interview with your colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.